Hello and welcome back to the Squadcast, the official podcast of Glasgow Warriors. Thank you to everyone for tuning back in again this week. We are back in the URC this weekend as we host Cardiff at Scotson on Friday night, 7:35 kickoff. Murphy, do you want to just get your plug out of the way just now?
Buy your tickets.
There you go, perfect. Now we've got that out of the way. How are you?
Great.
Good, lovely.
Yeah, I'm marvellous. How are you?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. Good. Back running, back fully fit,
back all fully fit and available for selection.
This is what we like. Another man who is back in the building after, I mean, physical's probably underselling Saturday, but Mr. Stafford McDowell, how are you?
I'm great, thank you. How are you?
Not too bad. We should start there. Obviously, back in the building after Six Nations debut in Dublin. Your main memories or main takeaways of that first appearance in the Six Nations for yourself?
Very fast, very physical. It felt like the game went by in about 15 minutes. Every time I looked at the clock, it would just seem to go by so quickly. An unbelievable experience, and great to have my family and stuff there as well. It meant a lot.
I was going to say, we saw a couple of the photos of the post-match. I feel like your dad goes everywhere at this point when it comes to debuts and matches and stuff like that. Just was it an emotional one for both of you, or for you, for him, for you? For how did this all come about, basically?
I think he would have been emotional during the anthems and stuff, probably. He didn't show a lot of emotion to me after the game, like in terms of crying and stuff. Yeah. But he was just really happy. Obviously, he's put a lot of work, just as much as me, if not more, into my career in terms of driving me around and coaching me when I was younger. So hopefully him enjoying that day was a bit of payback that I could give him for all the years he gave me.
Obviously, your first appearance in the Six Nations, but it's not exactly unfamiliar opposition. I mean, you look at the other centre, you've got Bundy Aki and Robbie Henshaw. You've played against many, many times in the last however many years it is now. Does it make it easier knowing that those are the guys you're coming up against for your first Six Nations game, as opposed to, for example, the French, who you don't necessarily play week in, week out? Is that something that goes through your head in the prep?
Yeah, I think so. I think as well they run a similar shape to kind of Munster and Leinster run. So obviously it went up a couple notches in terms of speed and physicality, but kind of knowing what the template was going to be and having played against that system before, I guess, made me a little bit less nervous before the game. Yeah. I don't know if it helped too much. But I think more it was just playing with the guys I've played with more, so playing with Hugh, playing with Kyle, George obviously playing as well. Like these are guys you train and play with every day, so it makes it a lot easier kind of knowing that they're either side of you.
Yeah, another man who was involved, our newest signing, I'm going to come to you for this from a front row expertise point of view, Rory Sutherland, joining us in the summer from Iona.
Suzza.
Yep. You've presumably trained with him from a Scotland camp point of view.
Trained and played.
Yeah, give us a little bit of an insight as to what we can expect from that man.
Yeah, he's quite a dynamic ball carrier, pretty aggressive guy and around the park, but also a specialist at set piece. And I think you see that in some of the Scotland games, especially in like the World Cup and that. He's held in high regard in terms of his scrummaging. But like I say, yeah, he's not afraid to get his hands on the ball. I played with Suz once, which was against Italy last summer in the World Cup warm-ups. He'll be an asset to us, and he'll be good. Yeah. I think he suits our style of play and what we're trying to do set piece wise perfectly. It'll be good. It'll be good having Suz here.
Well, you won't be available for this weekend. Sorry, Warrior Nation. We'll try and work on that. But just rewind a couple of weeks back to the last URC game. We'll get your opinion on something else here, because obviously you scored in the sort of swimming pool that was Treviso.
Back-to-back match, man of the match.
Back-to-back man of the match, man, as well, but he's going to not mention that, but there we go. Supporters probably have seen the angle that have been doing the rounds. I think it was the URC TV or the Italian broadcaster, where the guy's literally in your face as he's
sprints down the touchline.
Yeah, that's the guy. I mean, it's a cracking angle, and I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but if he happens to be listening to this for some reason in Italy, shout out to you. Are you aware of that when you dive across the line, that there's somebody literally in your face with a camera?
When I looked up eventually, because I was just happy that I knew the ball was going to be very wet and slippy, so I was just happy to ground it, first of all. Then I kind of kept sliding for 3 or 4 metres. Then when I looked up, he was right in my face. And I was like, oh, this is going to be quite awkward, because I probably look horrendous right now. So I just tried to get up and turn away from him as quickly as possible.
Well, it looked absolutely fine, because you genuinely made broke the fourth wall straight down the camera. So if anybody's watching that and sees that, it's just like you're part of the game.
Yeah.
But it was one of those ones that it genuinely just kept seemed like you were going closer and closer and closer. I think we could just take
the I thought I was going to just keep sliding into the little hedge at the back of the pitch, to be honest. But I managed to avoid it.
Yeah. Talk to us as well, the little memento you got from Treviso for your Man of the Match awards.
Yeah, it was brilliant. I got a Magnum of Prosecco, which was amazing. So I've got it in my flat. Thankfully, we thought about cracking it open the change room after the game, but then Pump advised me just to put it in the physio bag and take it home and save it. So I picked it up, and it was It was a long journey home with it yesterday, making sure I didn't knock it over in the car. And then I've got it sitting above the fridge now at home. So I'll think of a very special occasion to crack it open. But yeah, the guy was, we had to take a photo with their sponsor, Prosecco Doc, after the game. And then the guy put out this massive bottle of Prosecco. So I'd kind of walk around the pitch with it. I felt like a bit of an idiot parading this thing around the pitch. But oh, it's mine to keep now, so I'll decide when I want to open it.
Should have went full F1 style.
I know, I did think, but I was like, if it smashes on the floor, then Frank Opel will be quite angry. So
maybe more angry that the Prosecco has been wasted there, the Italian food side of things. But yeah, if it's a man of the match to win, I think Treviso's.
Yeah, it's the best one.
Probably the one to win.
Yeah, I never knew that. Was that the one that was sitting in the fizzy room for a wee while?
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. Who was it? We had TJ on last week saying that he was hoping you would, you know, did you score two?
No, one.
Well, that one you scored, he was hoping that you were going to fall on it, turn around and pop off.
Well, he's lying because he said he was going to fall on it probably to me. So,
well, last week he was on here and he was saying that he was hoping you'd lie on it, pop up to him so you can get a brace.
Yeah, well, I thought in the kind of wet conditions that trying to use my feet would be the best outcome as well. I thought I'd just try and leave knocking it on out of the equation. If TJ wanted to pop up to me, that would have been just as good as well.
Anyway, we'll crack on with the Squadcast for those of you who are our new listeners. In front of, I think, well, it's sort of a equidistant, but in front of staff today is the hat full of the Squadcast scenarios on bits of paper. We have tried to filter them. How successful that's been, we'll find out. But Stafford, as you know, because you've been on before, your job is to pick them out, read them out, and generally entertain everybody that's listening. So crack on. Question number one.
Who is most likely to leave their phone at home?
From a Murphy Walker suggestion from a few weeks ago.
Jackman. Easy answer for me. Because he's done it before. And speaking of,
are you talking about like on a night out or training? Or just like someone who doesn't need their phone with them?
No, I mean like forgetting it. Because the other day, being yesterday, Ollie Smith sent me a photo of Jackman tidying away his shopping. And he, I don't know why, he put a tube of toothpaste in the fridge.
Okay.
Just brand new tube of toothpaste in the box. He'd just happened to put it in the fridge along with his ham and cheese and whatever else he got.
Be a really so awkward sandwich mix up.
Yeah, it would. Yeah. Unless he was wanting some cold toothpaste, but yeah, apparently he left it there for 2 weeks forgetting he put it in the fridge.
I mean, I don't really know where you go with this. I'm just going to pass over to you for your answer here, Stafford.
I think we're all too addicted to our phones to leave them at home.
Well, there you go. That's a deep and meaningful answer for the first answer on this podcast. There we go.
Wow. Question two. Which teammate have you known the longest and where and when did you meet said player?
I don't want to get this wrong.
Yeah, no pressure on this one, I guess. You can reel off a few options.
Would it be someone from 20s?
Yeah.
18s?
Yeah.
16s?
I didn't play 16s. Didn't get picked.
Yeah, neither.
20s, obviously played with Kyle Rowe, Trotter. Any forwards? Quite a few of the boys who are in my uni academy have either moved on or aren't here anymore. So
what year were you? 20s, 2017?
2017, 2018. I guess, well...
Yeah. Matt Fagerson?
Yeah, Matt. Oh, yeah, Matt.
Thank you.
I was about to go. I went to the backs first, but yeah, Matt. Yeah,
that's a shame.
With Matt.
That's a shame.
I didn't want to miss anyone out.
No, it's a tough one.
Matt, yeah.
I mean, there's guys that, again, like you said, have moved on. Like Robbie Nairn, I think, was in that group.
Yeah, Robbie Nairn. Obviously, used to live with Robbie and used to live with Bamba. Robbie Smith, who's at Northampton now. Yeah. I've known Cheese since I came into the academy.
It was a good group of 20s that year. Yeah. Was that the year we finished fifth?
Yeah. Highest ever finish.
Yeah.
Who else was that? All the Glasgow boys.
There's obviously Hammy Burr, who's with Chiefs. Kaleem.
Adam Nicol,
who's with Coventry.
Coventry now, yeah.
Coventry, yeah.
Was with Jersey.
Good bunch.
Strong group, yeah.
Good bunch.
We're back at that.
Any older boys? Who was like the first one you met, like pro at Glasgow?
I remember when I first came in, it was like Sean Lamont was still here.
Yeah.
He was always made me feel very welcome. Fuzzy. Pete Horn has obviously been very good to me through the years now in a coaching capacity. Wills, all those guys were probably like the people who made me feel welcome when I came in. Kebs was always really good to me when I first came in.
Ratu.
Ratu, yeah, can't forget about Ratu. If Ratu is listening for some
reason. If Ratu is listening.
Shout out to Ratu.
Huge in Australia.
Living his life in Sydney now. But yeah, obviously.
Thorners.
Yeah, Thorners. Obviously played 20s with Thorners. Lived with him as well. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's been loads. Like, obviously, when you're here for a long time, boys come and go. But there's obviously like a core of people who stay and you stay in touch with and you stay friends with. That's probably the special thing about rugby.
I was just thinking this, because when you're reeling off names, you're like, you kind of forget how long you've been at this club. Yeah.
Don't
like
say
a,
that.
No, in a very good way. It kind of feels like, because like you've had a couple of, so we're not going to dwell on the fact, because it's been done to death a lot about the fact you've had a couple of years of tougher times here and it breaking out in the Scotland squad this year. You've been around, what, 2017 was your debut?
2017, yeah, was when I first came. And then I think 2018 was my debut. I was still in the 20s when I played against Southern Kings here off the bench. Yeah. I played one game. But yeah. It's time's flowing in now.
Yeah, yeah.
By the time we get to the end of this season, that'll be six or seven seasons. So
that's mental.
It's coming pretty. Obviously, two of them were in the academy, so
yeah.
I don't know if they really like half count.
Still
we train here quite a lot actually with the pro team as well. So it's flowing in and I've loved it all. So it's been good.
Who was the most intimidating when you first joined?
Wills was quite intimidating, just because like the way he'd carry himself. Yeah. Like a good way, the way he would just like he would set standards high, he would hold you accountable if something wrong. Fuzzy was the same.
Yeah.
In terms of, like backs, obviously guys I looked up to like Horney and Sean Lamont, those kind of guys that you obviously just didn't want to
make a mistake
in front of them, just because like if you were young and nervous, you didn't want to kind of get a reputation in that kind of way. So, I found the whole thing pretty intimidating to be honest, coming in and out. But yeah, obviously that. If you come and you're young and the standards are high, then hopefully that helps raise your own standards. Yeah. So it's definitely a good thing, even though it can be quite intimidating at times.
Definitely something we're seeing now as well, and long may it continue.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Which player is first up on the dance floor on a night out?
And why is it Murphy Walker?
No,
it's not Murphy Walker.
It ain't me.
You?
No, it ain't me.
All right. If he's in the right mood, George Horn does like to dance. If he's maybe got the right amount of alcohol in him, then he will have a dance.
That doesn't surprise me, to be honest.
I've forgotten the word.
Outgoing?
No. Like talking about this question now because we've got a team social at the
appropriate.
Weekend. Yeah, it's a very appropriate question. We've got a team social at the weekend.
Team gathering.
Yes, just a couple of iron brews and other soft drinks.
Indeed. Good choice of drink there, given the response of ours as well. So, well done.
So, if you're about Glasgow and you see some of us, don't approach us and look for Gog on the dance floor.
Yeah.
What was Speak to Us, Dublin?
Yeah.
You were obviously the Six Nations closing night. Was there any who was first up for that?
I don't know. It's obviously always a weird one, like going out after you've not. Won a game, but obviously it's the end of a tournament and boys have been working really hard for 8 weeks, been away from their families and stuff, and it was obviously a chance for boys to relax a little bit. So we had a few beers in the changing room and then we went to a function in Dublin at a hotel. I'm not going to do any plugs.
No, that's fair.
we went to a function with the Ireland team were there as well and obviously sponsors and stuff like that, and we had a few drinks. It was a free bar, which was obviously a really nice touch.
Andy.
And then we went to some club called House.
Lovely.
Which I thought it would just be called House because of house music, but it was actually decorated as someone's house.
Oh, nice.
So the room we were in was like being in someone's living room, like being at like a house party when you were younger. But you were in a nightclub in Dublin.
That's quite cool.
Yeah,
concept.
Which was obviously quite cool. And then I came home from there. We were actually stayed quite far out of Dublin, so a little bit of an effort to get home, but it was definitely worth it. But yeah, Gog was on the dance floor. I think I saw Steno up there, Hugh Jones, loves the dance as well. So yeah, they were all there. I don't want to comment on the quality of the dancing, but
we won't make
No, it was a good night.
Talk to us about as well. Rewind just a wee bit. I'm assuming which part of this night did you sing your Scotland song? Because I've read your article this week where you're talking
I did
about
it the day before.
Yeah, that was the day before.
Yeah.
What did you go for?
Ain't No Mountain High Enough.
Nice. Classic.
I need to learn a new one because it's kind of the only one I know.
Did you not sing that on your debut as well?
Yeah. Well, I was going to sing, if anyone's seen the movie Anyone But You, the song Unwritten has made a massive comeback in the charts. And I was
thinking...
Can you
hit those high notes?
Not here. And I was thinking, if I do have to sing a song, I'm should learn a new one. So I spent a bit of time learning that, and then Gog had to sing against Italy, and he sang it. And I thought, I can't sing it the same song. So I kind of ruined that, and then I just panicked and went back to Italy. High enough. Lauren was trying to get me to sing Party in the USA by Miley Cyrus, which I think could be one if I have to sing again.
Sometimes the singing the songs is more daunting than actually
I was about to say that. So it's after Cap's run on the bus, so it was me and Xander had to sing. Xander for being the most Cap prop. And I was... it sounds bad, but I was probably just as nervous, if not more nervous, for that than the game.
Yeah.
At that point, I felt a bit sick in my stomach, and I was sitting on the bus. It was a 40-minute bus journey. They made me wait 25 minutes at the front, sitting down before Blair came up and eventually got me to sing. So once I'd done that, I felt a lot better, and I could eat stuff again.
Yeah.
Shuggy started booing me. He claims he doesn't, but I saw him booing me. Don't know why.
Centered disharmony.
Yeah. Nah, it's so true. It's just so nerve-wracking.
We were talking about this is such a weird thing that you can go into a stadium the next day and play in front of 52,000 people and you get nervous, but like once you're playing you're fine and everyone's watching you. Or you play here at Scotstoun in front of 7,500 people and everyone's watching you, but if you're asked to sing a song in front of 40 of your mates, it's just you're absolutely petrified. You're shaking, you're sweating, you forget all the words. It's just a really daunting experience.
I can imagine that somehow.
Character building
or something.
Who is most likely to laugh in a serious situation?
Have you ever done it?
Lauren is my girlfriend is really bad for it. She claims it's just like her reaction to something bad happening. I'm waiting for the day when something bad happens and she just bursts out laughing. But she used to tell me when she was younger, her mum would be like really angry over something and then she would just laugh because she was so stressed she would laugh and then her mum would get even angrier. So
that's such a bad quality to have. Imagine like at work and you're getting fired and you're just like start giggling.
Well, it's like if someone's dog passes away, that's kind of the one you hear, like something like that, like some really sad experience, and then someone your natural reaction is just to laugh because you're just so stressed.
Bad. So bad, but actually quite funny.
Anybody been in here? Anybody you can think of? Not sure what the serious situation would be in here. You've got a better idea than this, I mean, I imagine.
There has been serious situations in terms of like team meetings and stuff, and then like a coach will do something where they pronounce a word wrong or something, and everyone will just burst into laughter, and then that serious situation just completely drops, and everyone's making some jokes and stuff. But in terms of a singular time where somebody's laughed, I can't think of one. But I don't know who would be prone to it either. I don't know.
No, it's a tricky one.
It is. I want to experience it because I think it would be hilarious. Like imagine a team meeting where like somebody's shouting at you for doing the wrong job and you just start bursting into laughter. Wouldn't go down well.
No, probably not.
Who is the player we should be keeping an eye on for the rest of the season?
Oh, nice. Wholesome one to finish.
Great question to end on.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Also, this, I think Max Williamson has been really good. Yeah, Backies, as Franco calls him. I think he's been really good every time he plays. Yeah. Him, I guess, if you talk about Max, you have to talk about Alex as well. I think when Scott's been away and Richie's obviously been injured since the Wales game, those two have stepped up massively. And obviously with JP out as well, those two have stepped up massively. And it's great to see them. They're joint at the hip the whole time, two Glasgow guys coming through. And yeah, just every time they're so physical.
Yeah.
They've both got really nice little touches to their game with their soft hands and stuff as well. But yeah, it's great going onto the pitch knowing you've got those two there because you know they're just going to be menaces the whole game to the other team. So both of them, I guess.
You talk about that game in Treviso. You talk about the fact they're joined at the hip. Genuinely, at one point, it was a case of wherever one goes, the other one's fault. They were all over the place in that game. In the best possible sense, they were brilliant.
And they brought one into Scotland camp, then they had to bring them both into Scotland camp. Exactly. Then they want to be apart from each other. So, no, it's great. Like, there's, I forget how young they are. Were they 21?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, and it's ridiculous. They're huge. Max is especially is massive. Yeah. Like he's filled out a lot. Alex is still a bit more like rangy. But yeah, the way they throw their bodies around in a game is it makes you want to be there on the pitch with them. They're awesome.
Phenomenal pairing to have. Murphy?
I mean, I share the same answer, I'd say. But I was trying to think of someone else. I was thinking of Gregor Hiddleston.
Yep.
I think He's only got a few games now, but I think coming into the end of the season, that's where you've kind of got to be ready for any moment. And like down in Exeter, I mean, it was Gregor's debut, and how well did he play then? Oh. So I think with a big finish to the season, I think he could be key in how we go.
Covering the back row as well against the Dragons.
Exactly. So he's the same as Gus. Like, Gus covers back row as well. So the pair of them, they're going to have to share a fair amount of workload coming up for this last, how many games?
Yes.
Eight.
Yes, eight yep. games. So
a lot.
So there's going to be a lot of mixing about. So I reckon Gregor, Gus, I reckon they could be ones to watch for the rest of the season.
Anybody behind the scrum? Probably going to come back to you for this one rather than
behind the scrum.
Front row. We've seen Ben step
up
this
Ben's
year.
Obviously been talked about a lot as someone who stepped up. He's done really well, especially the way he trains. He's always switched on in training. He's always asking questions about his role and how he can get better. Not to me personally, maybe about box kicks, but just the way you see he carries himself as well. I feel like we can't talk about Dobie. He's been here for like 5 years now. He's been here just as long as me, and he's still only 23. But yeah, obviously we know how good Dobie is and how good he's going to get and keep going as well.
Another big one, the watch, D-Money.
Yeah, D-Money. Yeah, stock is rising fast for D-Money.
Yes. Yeah,
yeah. Honestly, unbelievable guy.
Hard worker.
Yeah, hard worker. So good to have around the place. Put a smile on everyone's face. And yeah, when he gets his opportunity to play, I'm sure he's going to take it with both hands because, yeah, he works unbelievably hard again. Always asking questions off boys, trying to get better and putting himself about. So hopefully when he gets his debut, it'll be a big one.
Fingers crossed. Well, should we end on that? That seems like a nice wholesome note to finish on. Stafford, as always, absolute pleasure to have you on. Murphy, likewise to yourself. Hopefully you're back fit and firing soon, and we'll see you out there. And we'll see you back here next week, Warrior Nation. In the meantime, tickets are still available in all four stands, I believe, for Friday night's game against Cardiff. Get them at glasgowwarriors.org, 7:35 kickoff. We will see you there. In the meantime, he's been Stafford McDowell, he's been Murphy Walker, I've been Craig Wright, and this has been Glasgow Warriors Squadcast.